This is Dylan Martin, arts editor of Free Press. I am here with Sarah Violet. She is also known as Lady Essence. Rapper?
Rapper.
Oh, hip-hop artist? It's all, okay. It all falls under. And you're also in a group called
Yes.
In the Attic.
In the Attic.
Okay. So let's just go back to your roots.
So, oh, it's Maine.
So to speak. Where did all this influence come from?
That is a really good question. I grew up listening to country. My mom was a big Alan Jackson fan, a big Reba McEntire fan. I would listen to country all the time. Pretty much loved country. And then what happened? I don't know what happened. I was on the bus one day and I thought I could rap. And I used to make fun of people like Eminem and all these other rappers. I was like, it's so easy. Like, why do people think this is music? Why do people think this is something you can actually do? And then I realized, well, if it's so easy, I should do it. So I began rapping when I was 13 years old to prove to myself that it was an easy thing to do. And I quickly realized that it was not an easy thing to do. It was very difficult to come up with, you know, the right words and rhyme with more than one word and not just go like flow, dro, but rather like intricate syllables that, you know, you don't always hear. And that's when I realized that Eminem was a genius and he really wasn't, you know, an untalented bigot. Still a bigot, but not untalented. And that, at the age of 13, began to take off. And I knew I was bad at it, but I didn't stop. I just kept going and going and going, despite being made fun of for being a white girl at the age of 13. I found my best friend Shane, who I'm still best friends with, and we're in a group together now. And we play, you know, almost weekly, sometimes monthly, but yeah, that's how it started.
When did you start recording?
Yeah, I started writing when I was 13, but recording was like a whole, like even as soon as I got okay at lyrics, recording became like a whole other dimension that you had to become good at, you know, placing emphasis on the right words and everything. And so I was 17 when I began like recording a lot, but it wasn't when I was 19, I had a studio in my room, and that's when I recorded daily. Every day I would write something and record it, and regardless if I finished it or not, I was doing it for the practice more so. So from 19 on, I began to get seriously, and I'm 21 now. So I've really only been taking it really seriously for about 2 years.
So. You only now, under your solo efforts, you have one album. It's a digital release.
Correct. But it's also a hard copy release. It's going to be in Bull Moose soon, eventually. I just got to work on that. But we released a hard copy at Rock That, the festival that took place. I have a solo, I've had so many solo things in the works that just haven't shown my skill to the greatest effect because I'm still growing, so I always hesitated. I would put out the singles that I most liked on those, but I would halt the projects. But right now I am in the midst of a project that is almost completely written, just needs to be recorded, and I don't have my studio right now, so I have to wait. I have to be really patient for that. But right now, no solo stuff, just with In the Attic. We have the In the Attic debut, which we released about a month ago, and that's done pretty well. A lot of people are talking about it. When they see us live, I think it creates a more personal effect, and they really get it. But yeah, so far that's it.
And In the Attic is with Shane and
OZ.
Another friend?
Yep, Shane and Zach Lang, who goes by OZ. He's pretty big. He's getting bigger in the Boston area because he's worked with producers, Teddy Roxman, who's worked with Apathy, The Camp, just a lot of well-known Boston people. So Z's getting bigger around that, and his style is more like grimy. He's got like that fast-paced butter flow that he can take any word and rhyme it with anything. I mean, he rhymed indestructible Iron Man with six-syllable frying pans, just to show you what kind of like lyrical nut he is. And Shane's more of like the atmosphere mixed with Fonte. He's got like a soulful abstract thing going on, but he stays behind the beat. He stays behind the drums all the time, and it's very interesting to see us as a dynamic because it's something you don't see all the time. Like, I'm like a corny white girl, and Shane's a little white boy, and Zach's he's got like an Asian background, and he's kind of a nerd, and it's weird to see us all on stage combining our diversity, and it's nice.
What influences the lyrics that you write?
Lyrics. Lyrics are pretty, for me, they're emotional. They're emotional, but they're also intelligent. On our debut album, we have a song called Clarify, and I think that song for me really captures what my lyrics are about. I mean, I'm never gonna hesitate on talking about who I really am and talking about, you know, what I really believe in, but I'm gonna do it in a way that is intelligent. I don't wanna use, you know, vocabulary that's from sixth grade. I don't wanna, you know, go to the club with a thug and get drugs. Like, that's not at all how I rap. And it's not how many people in Maine rap, which is what I really like. It's not an imitation. It's like a real, you feel it. I like music that you feel, like Joe Budden. Like, when I listen to Joe Budden, I feel what he has to say. I don't just hear it. It's something that you feel. So I would say my lyrics come from, you know, listening to people like Joe Budden and, you know, Atmosphere and Eminem, people whose emotions really come out on a track. That's my kind of thing.
Now, what would you, actually, let's talk about Rock That. How was that experience? Rock That is the 3-day hip-hop festival that happened at the Big Easy a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Rock That was amazing because it was something that needed to happen a long time ago. And the biggest reason it happened, I feel like, was because once Spose got signed, it was like, it opened up the gates. People were like, holy, my God, there's a lot of talent here. There's a whole diverse group of people who have different skills. You know, we have our B-boys over here, and then we have like our electronica DJs who are so good at what they do. And on this side, we have like old school people, like Educated Advocates, who can recreate the 90s just like that. And then we have, you know, people like In the Attic, who are more like contemporary, lyrical, you know, trying to convey that new school stuff, but still with that old school flavor. And then you have like Sandbag, who's like so abstract, but at the same time can say something really real. And it was just so cool to finally bring that together and have people see what we really have here. You know, it's not just Spose, but Spose was a big reason that it was able to you know, flood gates and let people see what we have. And it was an amazing experience because in most hip-hop scenes, there's like this beef, there's this competition. And while we still had the competition, you know, there were people who were like, oh, I can't wait to get up there and do better than them. But there was still, it was like love. It was a friendly competition. It was like, you know, there was so much respect in the room. And I really appreciate what Mark Curto did from CYY, because he didn't have to do that. He did it because he truly believes that there's a big scene that hasn't been visible.
Yeah. And what did he do?
He organized the whole Rock That Fest and didn't take any profits. All the profits went right back into the Big Easy, the whole hip hop scene, the open mics, into advertising and everything. So he really brought it together, and it was really cool of him. I mean, he's been playing Local Cats since Spose got signed. He's been playing Fidelity. He's been playing me. He's been playing Click North. He's been playing a bunch of people who normally wouldn't get spins, and because we don't have a hip-hop station. So it was really cool of him to step up. And even we got an interview even with Q97.9 about Rock That, which was cool. So it's been really good so far. I've never seen the scene like this, and I've been following it since I was like 13. So it's nice to get that exposure. Mm-hmm.
You think Rock That kind of brought the hip-hop scene to a head, and now everyone's noticing it now?
I think it really boosted it to a point where this is probably the most people that have ever like seen it really this big. I think it's only going to go up from here. I don't think it's a plateau by any means. I think it's just getting to a point where it's just going to keep going further and further. But I do think it was a mark in hip-hop history in Maine, definitely.
Now, you mentioned some other artists already, but like, who are your favorite right now, or what have you been listening to?
Locally, definitely. I mean, I check up on Spose all the time. I check up on Educated Advocates all the time. Click North, Sandbag, like all those local cats I really dig. But as far as like the, you know, outside of Maine, definitely Joe Budden has always been a huge influence. He just released Mood Music 4, and I can't stop listening to it. Atmosphere, a big one. You know, Eminem. I mean, not new Eminem, old Eminem for sure. His new stuff is so choppy, I can't even read it. I don't understand what he's saying. But even outside of hip-hop, I listen to Adele, I listen to Kate Nash, I listen to Lily Allen. I mean, I listen to everything far and beyond. I listen to classical when I can, you know, in the car, I listen to classical. I pretty much listen to everything. I listen to Paramore. I listen to a little bit of, you know, Breaking Benjamin, 10 Years. So, I mean, it expands to more than hip-hop, which I think more hip-hop artists need to do, because it's about music in general. It's about self-expression, and it's not just a one-lane thing. It's multiple lanes that I think more hip-hop artists need to see.
Now, who are some of the people who have made music for you? Because it's all is it all original music that's made for you? Or?
The beats. Zach makes beats in the attic. He made probably about half of them. And then the other person that made them was Chris Brassard of Cape Elizabeth, who's also in a group with Teddy Roxpin, and they're called Cold Logistics. And they're probably the best producers in Maine, in my opinion. Chris and Z and even Teddy, I think he lived here for a little bit. Definitely the best producers I've ever come across. The way Z can sample something it's amazing, because he just started making beats probably about a year and a half ago, and he's grown so much as a producer and as an MC. His emotions when he records now are so fluent, and he's really able to capture, you know, what it is he's saying, not just, you know, in the vocabulary and in the flow and the rhythm, but just, you know, emotionally you can start to feel him now, whereas before he was just more like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, it was like, okay. But he's definitely grown both as a producer and an artist. And Chris is growing as an artist now, too. I mean, it's crazy to see the producers jump back and forth between emceeing and making beats and, you know, doing a bit of everything. Pretty soon they'll be DJing, for all we know. And they've definitely grown. I think producing has helped them grow as artists, which is really remarkable, which makes me wish I did it, but I can't do it because I'll get addicted to it. So, yeah, but those are the people primarily that make our beats.
Now, obviously, the Big Easy is a good place for hip hop right now, but are there any other venues that are doing stuff like that right now?
I mean, Big Easy is like the home of hip hop in Portland right now. It's definitely, you know, the open mic every Wednesday, and, you know, the showcases every Wednesday is really nice to have. So it's like the weekly one we go to, but I love performing at Empire. I think Empire is one of the best venues to perform at. I performed in Dover, and that was in New Hampshire. So, I mean, even south of us is getting pretty big. I performed at Club Texas in Auburn, and that was okay. I mean, if you want to go to Auburn, it's cool. I mean, Sandbag does a really good job there. They always perform really well at Club Texas. Also, the Asylum, definitely, that's usually where, like, you know, the big cats come, and you can see, you know, the locals perform open a little bit. But those are definitely my main spots. I love Empire, personally. Empire and Big Easy are like my home field, my home turf.
Now, most of the other venues kind of cater more towards like rock and, I don't know, folk. Do you think other venues should expand their taste a little more?
Definitely. I mean, I think Space is one of those. Space Gallery has definitely expanded with Sonia Tomlinson being there, Santiago. She's definitely opened the doors a bit more. I've yet to perform there. I'd love to perform there, especially with her at some point, because she was definitely one of the female founders of Portland hip hop, you know what I mean? She was someone I always looked up to. But I think definitely other venues need to open up. I mean, right now it's like playing the same two venues, you know, Empire, Big Easy. The Asylum, yeah, Port City was for more bigger people, but it'd be cooler to see, you know, more of a branch. I mean, I see rock people getting their props all the time, and that's cool, they deserve it, but it would be nice to see the hip hop be more well-known, more appreciated.
Now, Spose was at the Rock That Festival, but you also played a one-off show with him. I forgot where that was.
That was at UMaine. Yeah, I did. I opened for him at UMaine, and it was really fun. He can draw such a crowd, so it's really nice to open for him because, you know, he appreciates what you do regardless. He's one of those, he appreciates what I do, I know that, and I really love that about him, that he can, you know, give daps to certain people, and he doesn't have a big head about it. He's not an arrogant, you know, prick who's just gonna be like, nope, not talking to you. You know, anytime he sees you, he's gonna give you a high five, and, you know, I actually freestyled with him in Ryan Dowdy's basement, who's from Educated Advocates. He's a member of Educated Advocates, and it was just so cool to just vibe out with all of them and, you know, just spit freestyles, you know, over drum beats. You know, we had a drum machine there, and we had Jay Karen from Educated Advocates just laying down drum machines, and Spose rapping about, you know, like clowns and, you know, just the goofy stuff that he raps about all the time. And it was cool to just lay it down with him. And, you know, he always kills it on stage live. He always kills it, and I'm really glad that he's gotten what he deserves. I really feel like he's made a big impact on the scene.
Now, if you get, this is, well, I think this is the final question because it only records for like 20 minutes, but if you get a major record deal from like Sony or Universal, let's just be hypothetical.
Okay.
How would you take it?
It would be tough for me. I mean, I want to be in a lower, I don't want to be that big. I don't want fame. Fame is like my biggest fear, to be honest. But at the same time, I do feel like I have something to offer that's influential, and I have a mindset that could really, you know, offer perception to people. Just being a female MC, I really feel like our culture needs a female voice that's not all sexual, that's not, you know, over the top with, you know, being naked and, you know, showing your ass in videos. I really feel like our culture could use someone who just wants to say what they feel and be educated and promote education. But at the same time, I don't want all the stuff that comes with it. So, I mean, I'd probably take it. I mean, who wouldn't? It's a lot of money. It's a big chance. But I would honestly like to aim towards like a Rhymesayers record label or a Hypnotic record label, you know, something that's a little bit under the radar. That's that.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.